Holding the ball.
And the free kick is going the way of the Tigers.
So the Cats snap the Tigers' strangleholds. And they give everybody much to ponder with a powerful performance, a 63-point win.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, we're always on the ball. We play the game as it should be played, at home or far away. Our banners fly high from dawn to dark, down at Gardenia Park.
A quite stunning turning of the tables, and in the second half it was 13-2. The margins for Richmond at quarter time 18, 9 at half time. The Cats by 35 at the final change and 63 at the close. Geelong 19-12, 126. Defeat Richmond 9-9, 63.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all. We are Geelong, we're always on the ball. We play the game as it should be played.
As telling as anything are the goal kickers for the Cats. 6 for Cameron, 5 for Rowan and 4 for Hawkins. 2 for Smith and singles to Higgins and Close. For the Tigers, Arts booted 3 and so too did Shea Bolton. There were singles to Revolt, Rioli and Lynch. 54,857 have seen a result that will be a long time in the assessing, I suspect. A 63-point win to the Cats. Our experts to take first crack at it for car sales, everything you ought to know, Jared Healy and Nick Del Santo.
Well, I think Hutto nailed it. A new plan from Geelong. They're going to come in late and they're going to be in deficit at quarter time, yeah, and then really lull them into a false sense of security and then go bang. And that's exactly what they did. It's hard to believe, really, what we've just seen unfold. The three forwards couldn't have been more successful. They were dominated in the first quarter in some respects, Geelong, and yet a lot of it was of their own doing. They were giving the ball back, but the pressure just wasn't there after about midway through the second quarter. And when the pressure fell away, the Cats' kicking game just was absolutely superb.
It was. It was an incredible start to the game. And our conversation initially in the first 30 minutes was the Tigers are all over them. The Cats can't handle the pressure. They can't maintain possession. They can't use the ball by foot. Take out that 30 minutes, it was completely in control of Geelong. And then it was Richmond that were looking for an answer. How are they going to get their hands on the football? That third quarter dominance from the Cats over the reigning premiers, the best team in the competition of the last 4 years, has not been seen. That was really, really poor. Lots of mistakes. The contested possession was a huge issue in that third quarter.
Yep.
But their ability, Geelong, to stick to the plan, to roll Tui behind the football, to take control of the, well, outside of the centre square bounce, but take control of the stoppages was significant as the players just spread themselves out and say thank you to the fans that were here. And the Tigers make their way off the MCG. It was a great turn of events because early on it looked like they were all out.
Yep.
They were cooked early on.
Well, it was just great to see the forward line function. And you have to take this result with a slight grain of salt because Richmond's pressure was absolutely non-existent. And we know that's not going to be the case if and when they get to the big finals at the end of the year. So I think coming into the match, it was a question of can the tall forwards and can the mark and kick game dominate the ground ball game of Richmond? Well, they absolutely dominated because there was no pressure across the ground after about midway through the second quarter. What does it mean for the future? I'm not sure, but what we've seen is a really powerful display by Jeremy Cameron. That was the thing that stood out. A great performance by Gary Rowan. I thought Wayne Carey wrote a really good article today in The Age about having a poor performance in a grand final. He put his hand up, kicked 1.5, I think, against the Crows in the, would have been the 90s. And Gary Rowan had a similar scenario. Didn't get near the ball in the grand final. And tonight he was absolutely dominant and put a kicking display on that was absolutely superb. But tonight, Smith played well. Jeremy Cameron played well. And who was the other? Higgins played a pretty good game also, spearing the ball in. So everything went well for them tonight. Blitz halves on the wing interests me.
Yep.
I've always liked him on the wing or through the middle because I think his run is superb. But can they find enough reliable tools to go that way if and when they come up against a much taller forward line?
I walk away tonight really happy with the Cats' balance of offense and defense and not being ultra conservative off the halfback line, which they have been the best at, or the worst, depending on how you're looking at the game, but they've been the most conservative side over the last 5 to 10 years. They go wide. They set up their defense behind it. They've had 74 tackles. That's 13 more than what the Tigers did tonight. Yet the amount of times we spoke about them coming through the corridor, the amount of times the Tigers were caught out defensively or got one-on-ones, which they don't like. Then you look at that third quarter. You put that pressure on the Tigers. You put it on anybody. They make mistakes. Broad, uncontested mark, dropped. Mansell had a couple of moments as well in that third quarter. And all of a sudden, you give up 8 goals and almost the game's over in that passage of or that part of the game. So really impressed. And I'll describe it as their balance of offense and defense, because in my opinion, they've been so heavily skewed just to the defense of recent years.
So the Cats fans were heavily outnumbered, but they are the ones who remain. And Gary Rowan in game 150 being chaired off by his partners up front, Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron. And they have shared in a remarkable number of goals, putting up 15 between the three of them.
And they got Cameron off the ground with Higgins with about 12 minutes of play remaining. So clearly they're in preservation mode with their hamstrings or their soft tissue injuries, which is obviously just smart work by the Cats. Radigalia is an interesting one to me, Jared. You've seen a lot of the Geelong as you have, Hutto. And you wonder where... Is he in their best side? Is Chris Scott, when he puts his head on the pillow, does he have a vision of Radigalia in their premiership side?
I think he does. Mm. I think he believes that Radigalia is in his best 23.
Mm.
Well, I'd be surprised if he doesn't, because he's still an untried in many respects player, and that he hasn't played enough games for us to get a good look at him. But gee, his highlights package is really, really strong. And if he can get super fit and be able to become a ruckman in the ruck rover mould, then you could really add to that midfield mix.
Well, I guess if we could see the combination like tonight, where it's him rucking for 60 or whatever it percent and Blitzars for 40, then they'd be happy with that because of what he can offer up forward.
Mm. Yeah, he's a darn good player. I think it goes without saying they need some work on their midfield centre bounce clearance stuff, because connection between ruck and ground ball player wasn't great when Radigalia had clear use of the ball, but that's something that will hopefully come with time. But you can't have a one-sided event like that.
The Cats by 63 points at the MCG tonight over Richmond, 19-12-9-9. So for the Tigers, they fall to 4-4, while Geelong move to 5-3 and climb back to the top four. Yes, there's a lot to dissect in our post-game show for Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legends, and Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. It's Cameron's night, is 22 disposals. Mm. He's taken 8 marks, had 18 kicks and 4 hand passes, and kicked 6 goals too. He should have kicked 7. He fluffed the ball right on the goalpost.
He did. Those numbers are midfield numbers. And take the goals out of it. That's a really handy day for anybody as he gets his hands on the football. But that's his ability. Like, you want to try and work out what sort of game Jeremy Cameron should be playing. It's that ability to get up the ground. And he's almost a triple threat. He can take a pack grab.
Yep.
He's great on the lead. And then a couple of times tonight, he can get off the shoelaces as well. So he's got all bases covered. I still think, and I know he's brewing tonight, I've got him best on ground already, but just what's the best way to use him? How do you get similar results? And you won't get those sort of numbers week in, week out as a forward line, but how do you get the best result out of a man that can do what he does? Tom Hawkins, who loves coming out of the square. And now you've got Gary Rowan as this roaming half forward that can do a little bit of everything as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but whatever they did today, I'd bottle it and give them a spoonful of it before each and every match. I mean, Gary Rowan came out of the goal square as much as anybody, and they seem to be able to rotate. I mean, ultimately, it's going to be how clean the ball is coming in. but particularly when you've got leading players like Gary Rowan and Tom Hawkins. And that's why I thought they did really well. I mean, Damien Hardwick will talk about one thing, and that is hunger and pressure and tackle, etc. He won't be worried about too much of the other stuff, but when there's no pressure and no tackling on the ball carrier, they just pin the ball on their chest so many times that it was a walk in the park.
So we will be in the Geelong room shortly with a winning interview. We'll dissect what does this mean for the Tigers, and we'll hand out our post-game awards, including the votes. How the Cats beat the Tigers by 63 points. That's ahead of us on AFL Nation.
That quarter on AFL Nation was for Mate Communications. Award-winning Aussie service mobile plans from $20.
The AFL Nation post-game review for Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends and Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best. Geelong has beaten Richmond by 63 points, 19-12, 126 to the Tigers, 9-9-63. We have a lot to work through, including an interview that will be coming from the Cats rooms. They're behind closed doors at the moment. So Jared Hilly and Nick Del Santo, shall we launch into our categories?
Let's launch.
All right. The Furphy unbelievable moments. Furphy, refreshing ale, unbelievable.
In a game where there was so many, I'm going to go with Jeremy Cameron's sixth goal, number six, when he did a lap of honour. When he did a full lap of honour, came to the bench, high-fived everybody he could find on the field just to make sure everyone embraced him. I thought he was superb.
Furphy Refreshing Ale, unbelievable. The MEGT Rookie of the Day, your local apprenticeship experts. So the two eligibles are Riley Collier-Dawkins and Ryan Mansell.
RCD, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if he's a 30-plus player and you have to say Riley Collier-Dawkins 30 times, it's going to be difficult, RCD.
Well, he had 14 disposals tonight, so he did it well 14 times.
MEGT, supporting employers and apprentices for over 40 years. The goal of the Knights for instant windscreens.
Oh, this broken would be interesting,
windscreen. Well, I was instant windscreens 1-3-2-4-4.
I was going to go with just a beautiful drop punt and all of them from Gary Rowan because I just love when you flush one. But I'm going to go with Tom Hawkins, third quarter from the boundary.
That one over there,
from the Dom Sheed pocket, but from a little further out against the grain, left to right as Tom does, laced one through. So Tom Hawkins gets goal of the game.
Can't disagree with that.
A crucial moment for New Farm, Australian through and through.
Well, there were many crucial moments, and I think the best moment was after halftime where they just came out collectively. And you could tell by the opening bounce that Geelong were up for the fight, and they went out and just spifflicated Richmond for the first time that they've been spifflicated for a long, long time.
Very good. We are reprising a few greatest hits here, aren't we? The tackle or tackler of the game for Toro, count on Toro to get the job done.
Well, there was a lot of tackles, 74 plays, 61, but I'm going to go with just weight of numbers, and it's Jack Graham, who always gives good effort. He had 7 tackles, so I'm going to go with him for the tackler of the day. Thank you.
Toro home ground advantage. The Bendix breaks, big moment, confidence stopping Bendix breaks.
Well, similar to what Jared just said, I had the third quarter as a whole. When you roll up and put on 8-1 goals in the third quarter, let's just group that all in. The Bendix breaks, big moment, was the 30 minutes of the third quarter.
Can I have a second big moment?
Yeah.
It was when two players went for the same ball, and it was Nick Vlosten who went bang straight into Asava Radaglia. And I feared for them both. And Asava just stayed there as if he had tree roots going down 30 feet. And Nick Vlosten, he was the mayor of Hiroshima. Hello.
Put your foot down with confidence, Bendix breaks. The power player ratings for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
Well, as I have a look at a couple of those numbers, the power player rating numbers, clearly those that kicked goals, and there was bags of goals. So the three big forwards for the Cats were very high in this particular area, as was Cam Guthrie, who ended up with 36 touches. A few of them late, it must be said, Drew. But when it comes to the power ratings, they all count. And for the Tigers, there wasn't many. It was Bolton and Short were the only ones that were prominent at the top of the leaderboard.
Mitch Duncan had an interesting game. He had 30 possessions, but it was probably one of his more sort of under-the-radar 30 possessions.
Mm. probably just got overshadowed by other people doing a lot
more. So it was a reverse of the power ratings.
The sustained performer for Host Plus, we go with you.
I went with Tom Stewart, who played a very good role on Dusty Martin. He also had 26 disposals of his own, 5 inside 50. So not only did he defend, but he was very good at going forward as well.
He was good in the clinches too. He found his way through a number of congested areas to dispose of the ball really well.
Host Plus, official superannuation partner of the AFL. The unmissable moment for Drinkwise. Choose Drinkwise. You won't miss a moment if you drink wise.
There's only one unmissable moment tonight.
That is correct.
That was Mr. Bolton. It's going to be seen by millions of people around the world. It probably already has been.
Mark of the year.
Yep.
And if something beats it, it's mark of all time, if anything used to beat that.
It will take some topping, that's for sure. The injury wrap for Sudox Active Muscular and Joint Pain Relief Cream. Follow the directions for use. Sam Simpson didn't make it through the night with what we suspect might be a hamstring. And Shane Edwards, alarmingly towards the end, was absolutely cast hobbling off the ground, which just made you fear what the short term for him is going to be.
Dalhouse, was it ribs with him? Or?
Yeah, it looked like ribs, Hutto. We haven't had any confirmation, but that's what it appeared to be. He got whacked by Jack Graham, which was a big hit, and just didn't seem like he recovered from that, even though he continued to play for a short period of time.
Quick look at the stats for safety steel sheds designed to save, built to last. So overall, the disposal count was 439 to 308. So 131 more, the Cats. The inside 50s were 55 to 43. The hit-outs, Richmond's way, 39 to 25, but Geelong ended up winning the clearances 39 to 30. The centre clearances, which we tracked, Richmond 18 to 12. The contested possessions, 147 to 115, so a mauling by the Cats there. And the uncontested possession was 284 to 193. The marks, Geelong took 122 marks, Richmond took 70, and the marks inside 50 were 20 to 6. The tackles, Geelong laid 75 to 60. The tackles inside forward 50 were 19 to 4 in Geelong's favour, and the free kicks 21 to 11 Geelong's way. Individually, Guthrie 36, Duncan 30, Tui 26, Menegola 26, Stewart 26, Blitzarves 24, Higgins 23, Cameron 22 before you get to the first Tiger, and that was Short with 22. Martin had 21, so did Parfitt, Smith, and Selwood, along with Shea Bolton.
Can I ask you, Del, if you had to give 3, 2, and 1?
Yes.
For the Tigers, who would you give it to? Because
Bolton. Bolton was clearly, I thought, the best for the Tigers again. Did he finish with 3 goals? Yep, he had 3 goals. So yep. I thought he was clearly the best and the most lively and likely to get them the win all back into the contest. I thought he was the best. Outside of that, I'd probably struggle. I couldn't tell you who was dominant or almost even won their position after Bolton.
No, and I think that's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. I mean, they had a few pretty good players at halftime. Graham was pretty good. Ross was pretty good at 4 possessions after halftime. Edwards was good until he went off. But, gee, this is probably the worst performance they've had collectively for a long, long time. I'm not sure when the last one was, but it was a stinker.
Well, the concerns for the Tigers in their losses this year, 34 points to the Ds. Sydney, 45 points, and tonight, 63. So they had the 2-point loss to Port, but outside of that, there's been some significant losses.
That was a good game. That was a ripping game.
Ripping game.
You lauded Lockie Henderson during the call, and he is with us now. Lockie, congratulations. Welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Was that good for the soul to beat Richmond like that?
Yeah, that one was nice. I won't lie about that one. Yeah, it was really nice to get up and get a win like that.
Was it your best game that you can remember, Lockie, because it's the best game I can remember you playing? It was absolutely superb.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, look, it's pretty easy when the boys play like that. The boys up the field were brilliant around the footy and just put the pressure on, and that makes my job pretty easy. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll look back at it during the week and I might have to come back to you on the best game ever. But, it was great. The boys up the field were brilliant sort of after that first quarter and made it pretty easy for me.
Well, let me go back and ask what the baseline is. Can you remember what your best game was before this?
It's a good question. I always go back to one real early in the piece. It was Sydney up there in a real wet game when I was playing for Carlton. So I actually enjoyed that one. But besides that, I only really remember my negative ones, to be honest. I don't really remember my good ones. I'm a pretty negative person on myself. So I'll have to come back to you.
How was it structurally different? I mean, we could all see Tui sitting behind the ball. We were actually debating whether it was something that was implemented in the second quarter or was he there early in the first quarter. We didn't certainly pick it up as dramatically as it appeared midway through the second term. And also without Tom Stewart being as the drop-off player.
Yeah, yeah. No, Reggie was brilliant, actually, sitting there. He sort of just was allowed to just sort of do what he wanted and set up how he wanted, which was nice. And then Stewie had a bit of a role, if you saw that one, and they both did it brilliantly. And as I said, like, I can't laud the midfielders well enough. Like, it does make our job a lot easier without pressure on, and you think they're about to get out with handball, and then just tackle comes in and just makes our job a lot easier.
Lockie, what was the significant change after quarter time? What was the messaging, and then how did that translate onto the field that ultimately put the Tigers under a lot of pressure, which you were in the first 30 minutes?
Yeah, to be honest, I think we sort of, from my eyes, we gave them a few early on. We sort of had a few skill errors and were a bit fumbly early. And I reckon two or three of those goals, taking nothing like the Tigers, they're a brilliant outfit. But I just thought we just weren't as clean over the ball as what we could have been. I thought we actually controlled the game when we got the ball. We were just a little bit fumbly and a couple of turnovers really cost us. So I didn't think it was dire straits at quarter time. I just thought we just needed to clean a few things up, and credit to the boys around the footy and the boys that when they got it in their hand, they just held it up and did the right things, which was brilliant.
Do you feel like the balance between attack and defence has changed this year for you guys? And do you love the style of football you're playing, particularly tonight with that, as I describe it, it's just a better balance. You know, you attack really hard, but you've got a great setup behind the footy.
Yeah. We've been working pretty hard on it. We've obviously been a bit up and down this year and didn't start that well attacking in the first half of the season or the first three or four games. So, yeah, you're right. Our balance has been great and we're starting to move the ball a little bit better, which is nice. And, yeah, as I said, as you're spot on, I reckon. I think we've just finally found our mojo a little bit, which is nice.
Where were you? Because I haven't seen you in shot when Shai Bolton launched.
I had the best seat in the house. I was worried about Lynchy and I was pretty much a metre away from him watching him do it. It was incredible. He was high.
Have you seen a better mark out on the field?
Oh, I said to Lynchy at the time, I said, that's got to be mark of the year so far, I reckon. No, I remember I had a pretty good look at Andrew Walker's way back when against Essendon, the old Skywalker, as they called him. That one, I still reckon, got it covered.
Hey, Lockie, your renaissance as a player, it looked like your career was just about over, and someone mentioned to me this week you could be an All-Australian contention, you're playing that well this year. Like, whether that's true or not, it's just a great reflection on how well you're playing.
Yeah, thanks. So I haven't really looked back too much now. It was a couple of frustrating years for me, and obviously got back in last year, and the body's starting to feel nice, and I'm getting older. I'm older in footy terms, but the body's feeling nice, which is good. It just makes a difference when you can get that pre-season under your belt. So, as I said, I'm a pretty negative person myself. I haven't looked back yet. I think that's going to come in years to come. I just got to keep sort of doing my job for the team. And as I said, I can't board the boys up the field more tonight than what I have.
Well, Lockie, before you go, I just want to go back and remind you about round 16, 2017. There was a bloke called Henderson, had 27 disposals against Brisbane, 11 marks, 6 rebound 50s, 4 inside 50s. So you're on your bike, 0 clangers and no goals against. So that's the benchmark upon which we judge you. I think you've outdone yourself tonight.
Thank you very much. And Jared, how'd you go with the big 10-foot waves of bells the other day?
Well, I wore a few, I conquered a few, but ultimately I just enjoyed the challenge.
Perfect. There's no way I'm getting out of there.
Lockie, well done. Terrific stuff.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, guys.
Lockie Henderson. Dal, the boats to finish us off.
Well, hopefully he's hung up the phone because I had him fourth, I promise you. So the one vote, we had Tom Hawkins, 20 disposals, 4 goals, 16 score involvements. 2 votes, so it went with Gary Rowan, 16 disposals and 5 goals. And the other man in that forward line, 3 votes goes to Jeremy Cameron, 22 disposals, 6 goals, 2, 1 he missed from the goal line, and 15 score involvements. The big three got the job done for the Cats.
Yes, that's a rare moment in voting history, I would say. 3 for Cameron, 2 for Rowan, 1 for Hawkins. In this round, the showdown in South Australia when the Crows and Port Adelaide meets. All the talk around the showdown for Keno. Play Keno from only $1 a game. Gamble responsibly. The Cats by 63 points over the Tigers at the MCG. Those discussions will last all weekend, I'm sure. This has been the AFL Nation post-game review for Hard Yakka, for a new breed of legends in Beaumont Tiles, Australia's best.
You're listening to AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles. Bathroom packages? Choose Beaumont's. And Hard Yakka for a new breed of legends.